This week on the Media Corps Minute Podcast, I sit down with the brothers and the next generation of Jimmy Sal dressings and dips. Sam Slightem, the CEO, and Griff Slightem, the Director of Sales and Marketing. Guys, this is such a fun listen. You're going to love this one. You're in for a treat. We dive into a lot of different things, a lot of business growth, generational gaps, stories, EOS model. There's just so many good nuggets. I know you're going to enjoy this. Let's dive in. How are we doing today?
Outstanding.
Beautiful day. Feeling pretty good.
It's a good day. It's good. What day is it again? Tuesday?
Tuesday.
It's a beautiful Tuesday.
I had to ask on my way in too.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a business owner thing, but like, I feel like every day is just like a blur and it's like, wait, where are we at again? I got to check my calendar.
We always say it's good to be busy. That's definitely the case.
Yeah. Well, sweet. Well, I'm pumped to have you guys on. I know, even from Jimmy kind of connected and, you know, me learning more through that. And again, throughout the whole process of working with you guys, I mean, I was excited to kind of get you on, and I'm glad that we got to have both of you too. So I'm excited for that.
Double trouble.
That's right. That's right. Watch out.
Yeah.
We're humbled to be here for sure.
Yeah. That would be great. And this is your first podcast too, right?
Yeah.
See?
It's the maiden voyage.
First of many.
Yeah, the first of many.
You're going to fall in love. You're going to build your own studio and just be rocking pods all the time.
That's the new gig.
That's
new
right.
Yeah.
But before we really get into things too, you know, I know we just did a project and I just wanted to kind of hear too, like what you guys thought. I was excited. I know we talked a little bit before we came in too, but I was pumped about it. I kind of wanted to hear what you guys thought of the whole thing.
I'll jump in right away, and I know I had shared with you a little, Josh, prior to, but you know, from the pre-meeting, you know, pre-production
yeah.
meeting, just got good vibes from Jake and from you, and it was just an incredibly comfortable experience from start to finish. Only thing that kind of threw me off was the fact that you sent three guys that were all over like 6'2". So I had kind of a sore neck by the end of the day.
Yeah. We have an oddly tall team.
You got an oddly tall team, that's for sure. But no, they did an outstanding job. It was just, it felt like hanging out with a couple of guys with some fancy cameras throughout the day. So I don't know, Sam, if you got anything.
Yeah, I mean, I'll totally echo that. Like,
yeah.
I'm fairly type A in my approach. And so it was so comfortable and easy.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm feeling really unprepared for this.
Yep.
And it could not have gone any smoother. And, you know, we're in the stages of going through the rough draft. And like we said,
final tweaks.
And to Jake, like, we don't have to change a thing, right. You know.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, really happy.
Well, I was pumped. When I got back, you know, I'm kind of like coming in and out of like different parts of it. You know, I get to be a part of the pre-production on some and help plan and whatnot. But then I don't always usually get to go on the site and, you know, the guys are editing. So I always love like that unveiling, even for me, you know, getting to see it. Cause I'm like, oh dude, they're going to love this. This is fun to see it. But
yeah, we broke it out with the full team last week.
We did.
Popped some popcorn and, you know, did the whole unveiling.
Heck yeah.
But we've even shot it out to a couple customers as well.
Oh
yeah. You know, we're excited to share this.
Get the rough cut,
but like, this is what we're all about.
Yeah, it's been really well received.
So that's kind of the fun thing too, is like when people get it out, you kind of get, both. You get, you know, the new, you know, people reaching out, but really even like customers that you've been working with for like a long time kind of come out of the woodworks. They're like, oh man, like, this is sweet. We didn't know this was going on. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, to kind of hear that feedback is really cool.
Well, and what was really fun is like we shot one of these about 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And this is prior to us being in the business at all. And so for us to put like our take on it.
Absolutely.
And I mean, we're almost 10 years, a decade later. And to be able to document that growth was like, for us, obviously very gratifying, but to have other people see what today looks like is going to be awesome.
It's kind of cool to have like the stamp in time too. I mean, even the one that you guys did 9 years ago, I mean, it's like, that's cool that you have that and that you actually did a project, because you can look back, you know, you can see that, reflect on things.
Right.
And
it's like a yearbook.
Yeah. Cause people that don't, it's just like, man, like, what was it like? What were we doing? What did the company look like? You know,
it is, I'll point out too, it's very funny. The video that was shot about a decade ago was focused on our parents, mom and dad.
Yeah.
And we were kind of an afterthought in the video, right? Just kind of talking and not even talking, but just there, and some candid shots between mom and dad and us. And
then,
you know, fast forward to this video and it's basically reversed.
Flipped, yeah.
We've arrived.
Right? Yeah. And I was glad that they got to be a part of it, too. Yeah. That was cool.
Yep. Yeah. The whole, I mean, the three generations, right? And, absolutely. And so, I mean, when the last video was shot, Grandpa was still with us. And so, you know, even that's
you were
changed.
Looking young.
Yeah. Looking young. Senior Sam.
Senior Sam is in full effect. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's sweet. Well, kind of starting things off too, you know, give us just the overview. What is, you know, Jimmy's?
Yeah.
Jimmy's, Josh, is a third generation family owned, authentic homemade salad dressing and dip manufacturer. Yeah. We take a ton of pride in what we do. We've been in the same town since 1958. Our grandpa is Jimmy.
Yeah.
Was tinkering around in the back of his restaurant, which was named the Fish House, and just started tinkering around with dressings and started coming up with some of his own and started to gain traction. So fast That's forward wild. 60 years and we're still using the same recipes. We got some slightly different packaging. We've made a couple of jumps as far as the buildings that we're in, but we're authentic and it's authentic recipes, authentic products, and we're made by authentic people.
Well, it's cool that you've had kind of the small town roots, but have been able to grow so much even in that area. You know, it's like, that's sweet. You know, and you, that you're not leaving that, you know, per se. It's like, hey, the things that we were built on are the things that we continue to do today.
Definitely. I mean, I know it's so fun for us to talk with our dad, right? Because he saw it from the very beginning, right? Like the inception. So,
yeah.
You know, he remembers when it was in the back of the restaurant, you know, like literally just a kitchen. And then it graduated, you know, to a 1,000-square-foot room. And, you know, in the grand scheme, we're in a 40,000-square-foot facility today, which is peanuts compared to a lot of major, you know, manufacturers, right?
Yeah.
But for us, it's total pinch me. You know, every day we get to show up for work. And I know our dad walks through and is like, you know, it's pretty fun, and it's definitely gratifying to, you know, keep it busy enough to. we're operating, right? Yeah, we're making it work. Yep. So,
when did your dad kind of take it over from Grandpa? Yeah. What was it kind of looking like at that point?
Yeah, so it's really cool. Like our both, obviously, Grandpa and Dad, like probably definition of entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah.
Like I think Grandpa was a butcher for a while.
Yep.
But then he went right into the food industry and had a couple, he had a drive-in, then a restaurant. Our dad actually opened a bar when he was like 18
or 19. That's great.
Yeah, he was pretty young, very young.
Underneath the restaurant. So it was the Fish House restaurant down under. Bar underneath,
which is still with us.
Okay, absolutely.
The DU and Serval now run by the Steer Brothers. Shout out to the Steer Brothers.
Yeah.
But
that's great.
Nick Asperger.
I mean, to get back to your question, so he kind of saw the dressing thing, you know, from like where it started, and then he started picking up. And he goes, finally, he goes, guys, I want to propose, called a family meeting, and he goes, I want to propose the salad dressing thing. And they're like, you're nuts, you're crazy. You know, this is just a little side gig that we do.
And that's because people were just liking it so much.
Yep. Yeah.
And then he's like, just business opportunity kind of came to mind.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it was, long story short, about the early 90s or almost the year 1990, where he bought a little 2,000-square-foot building out in the industrial park in Stuartville at the time. Mm-hmm. It's like one of the only buildings out there, and now it's developed. But that was sort of the, you know, the first step in the leap of faith was early 90s.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And they really just kind of hit the streets then and just, I mean, some of the old photos and stuff like that at the trade shows and that random thing, like that's super cool.
It was the definition of hustling.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, our dad will tell, he's got no shortage of war stories, right? But there's one in particular where he's talking about going up into the cities. He's driving the truck and he's making a delivery and he gets out and he puts on his suit and his tie, and then he goes back into the same building but walks up the stairs and goes to meet with the executives to start pitching them new products. And you know, to a certain extent, I think we've felt that as well.
Sure.
We're still a small business and we all wear multiple caps, but we've been fortunate enough to add some pretty key players to our team who take just as much pride as we do in what we do.
Definitely.
And I'm excited to dive into kind of the development and, you know, how things have grown.
Mm-hmm.
For you guys, what was it like for you two growing up kind of in the family business, you know? Young, early stages, what was that like?
I mean, it was awesome. I mean, from my perspective, because, you know, we even saw the growth.
Yeah.
And, like, our parents were so excited because the wins were so big back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like we got into, you know, dad would come home like, man, we just got into a new store.
Yep.
And, you know, like, we would all be psyched. And, you know, seeing, I mean, the crazy hours, right? But just the passion, like, you know, the routine was dad would come home and it would, like, they would talk about work. Mm-hmm. And then we would... they'd get through that and then we'd have dinner. And so, like, we were kept abreast of it pretty much the whole way through.
We definitely were. I know that from my point of view, growing up in the business, we throw the word team around a lot in our in our building, right? Because we are a team and we really always have been. And specifically, growing up, it was a much smaller team, but specifically the production team was kind of like watching the Vikings a little bit from me. You know, they're all wearing their white uniforms and they got on their work boots and they are just hustling and they're making all these things. And we had at the time a couple of younger guys, but we had older women that were out there as well. Mm-hmm. But all of them were just kind of like this amoeba out there doing their thing and making it work. And in, for him and I to just kind of be putzing around in the warehouse, but being sneaking looks in and checking it out. I mean, it was awesome. You know, that's where the magic was happening and it's where it still happens.
Yep. When did you guys start kind of getting involved? Even, I mean, like, were you working at young ages? I mean, what's that like?
Yeah, I mean, child labor laws.
we might go easy as far as telling you what we did, but
it wasn't anything nuts, right? But we were around it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I know for a short stint there, our dad was actually mixing the product. So, like, we'd go out with him at night we'd help him, right? Help.
Yep.
We'd be running around and...
creating more work.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it was kind of playtime, but summers were, I mean, gosh, Griffin, what were you? You were our waste management coordinator for a while.
Sanitation manager.
Sanitation manager.
Clean up the garbages.
Clean up the garbages.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Give him the manager title.
Yeah, manager title. But, I mean, it was... I felt very fortunate. Sam got to a point where he was going to college and I got to start cutting the grass.
Oh, nice.
It was like, oh, yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Passing the torch.
But there was no shortage of just odd jobs that our dad kept us busy with doing, whether that was outside on the property or during the busy season. It was very common for a night shift of Carmel crew to come in. And that wasn't a second shift of hired employees. That was Mom, Sam, Griff, and then even that's a couple of relatives who were willing to donate their time and come in and help out. And so,
I will say it wasn't all like hard work, right? I mean, the one thing we get asked all the time too is like, do you need any taste testers?
Yeah.
So that's the best part of the job, right?
That's true.
Gramps, when he was with us, would come over and be like, all right, boys, you know, let's try this. What do you think? So that was definitely
the best. Was the R&D department.
Yeah,
R&D. Jimmy was.
I suppose now you're doing a ton of that. I mean, you got to be now like particular with different dressings and stuff. I mean, everything that you guys have now, it's probably like comparing to like what you guys have.
It is the running joke. Like when we go out for lunch or dinner, like if they have coleslaw on the menu, we're getting it.
It's the default.
It gets passed around.
Yeah. And for the record, we don't often find any that are better. So.
That's right.
Let's just clarify.
Yeah.
So. Kind of even moving past that, I mean, so Sam, you're going off to college. Where was that? Kind of what were you going for?
Yeah, I went to school in the cities at St. Thomas. And I remember, you know, obviously having the opportunity to go to college, right? And I was like, what do I want to do? And I'd kind of made the decision in high school. Like, I was really passionate about sports. Both Griff and I were.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd kind of made the decision, you know what, I'd like to refocus this energy and passion, like the same feelings I have for sport.
Right.
I want that to carry over into my working life. And so entrepreneurship was a program that St. Thomas had for undergrad. Mm. And I remember talking to my dad, like, I know I want to go into business because I would really love to come back and do this one day. And he goes, entrepreneurship. And this is like 2010, right? I'm still in high school. And I, like, didn't even know what it was, didn't know how to spell it, even.
Yep.
But St. Thomas had a program, and now it's becoming, obviously, mainstream. So long story longer, went to school, got my entrepreneurship degree, which was awesome because, you know, a lot of people say, well, how do you quantify that? But
I know it's an interesting degree even for me to hear now, you know, like I you know, I started this, but like, I didn't necessarily go to school. You know, I went right. straight out of high school. I went to RCTC for personal training.
Yeah.
6 months in, I'm like, I'm not going to be a personal trainer. So yeah. I just stopped because I'm like, I'm not going to keep wasting my time. And, mm-hmm. you know, but I, you know, I saw like, you know, entrepreneur like degrees. I'm like, what are they teaching those? You know, it's like,
for sure.
What is that?
I think the coolest lesson was literally one day and the teacher just went around the room and he's like, everybody like choose a business that you could start today.
Yeah.
And like, there's a bunch of dreamers in the room. And so the one guy's like, I want to have a bar and grill. And so he goes, great example. And we got into how many beers a day do you need to sell in order to be profitable? And literally it was the first time that had clicked in my mind. And I'm like, holy cow, that is what entrepreneurship is, right? It's not just the dream. You also have to be able to make it a reality or Absolutely. Sustain it. So that was that. I love that about my school experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you knew in high school that you wanted to come back and be a part of Jimmy's.
That was a goal for okay. me. You know, I loved hockey, and I thought, you know, other than going to the NHL, I think this was kind of my fallback option.
Yeah.
But no, I saw, you know, our dad, our mom, and the lifestyle that they have, and I was like, I'm all in. You know, I yep. want that for myself. So, yeah.
Griff, what about you? I mean, when did you kind of know, or, you know, what did that look like for you? Like, man, do I want to be a part of this? Because yep. we've had a ton of, I don't know, like multi-generational business owners on this podcast. I mean, tons of them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you get about half and half. And it's like, yeah, like, I had nothing to do with mm-hmm. it. Like, I was going to go pave my own way, do my own thing. And then there, you know, you got the other half where like, yep, I want to be a part of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
I think, to be fully transparent, I mean, there was a bit of a roller coaster that I rode between I want all in on this or yeah. I want completely out on it, right? Yeah. And that maybe has something to do with puberty at the time too, and being like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, there the feelings of wanting to be all in yep. far outweighed the feelings that I ever had of being I want nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
And it was ultimately just this tremendous amount of pride that I felt being able to be a part of this company and to be able to work with my brother, with my dad, with my mom, and with the team that's there. I mean, it was ultimately a no-brainer, but yeah. there's a part of probably everybody that's a young man that's kind of got that rebellious side to them where they're you know, screw this, I'm going to go do my own thing. Yep. And I did to a certain extent, but the entire time knew that this would be it would be home for me. It's yeah. almost like I got branded when I was born and didn't really Absolutely. Have a choice to Absolutely. Maybe get out of it.
Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Where's the brand?
Yeah, where's the brand, but proud to wear the brand yeah. and love wearing the brand and am excited to get up every day and yep. keep moving this ball forward.
So did you also kind of go the college route, or what did that look like after high school?
So I did. I actually played hockey after high school. Okay. I played down in Austin, Minnesota for the Bruins down there.
So you're both going for the NHL.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so I played in the NAHL, which okay. the only difference is one letter.
If you say it quick.
Yeah, say it quick. Yeah, say it quick. But did that for a year and enjoyed it, but was, you know, there's a level of passion that you need to have. And yeah. I was burnt out. I took it. It was every day and every night of high school, or essentially since 3 years old to 18 years old. That's all you wanted to do. And I kind of like pointing out, as soon as I decided, you know what, I just want to go to school. It was almost like my life started.
Yeah.
And so I'm very grateful for everything that hockey had taught me, and I know you are too. But it was time to move on. Made a lot of great relationships so on that have yeah. persisted to this day with a lot of the people in the hockey world. But ended up going to school at Colorado State out in Fort Collins. And Sam lived in Denver at the time. So short drive, about an hour between Denver and Fort Collins.
Yeah, yeah.
Best decision I've made.
That's
it was a total change up in my life. Kind of the hippie culture out there and between the music, the mountains, the recreational activities that state has to offer just completely broadened my horizons to different interests, really. So went out there, got a degree in business management. Basic business BS is kind of what I like to call that. but had some great professors. I mean, there's a couple that come to mind even that really kind of made an impact similar to the story that you told. Mm. And graduated college during COVID, though.
Okay, yeah.
And again, to be kind of that rebellious side of me, I had a job lined up at an amphitheater in the mountains where I was going to kind of learn the booking process, right? How to book bands, how to run a kind of a music venue.
Absolutely.
And it went from having three shows a weekend to having three shows the entire summer. And I was not going to be able to afford to live out there and do that. So came back, and actually we have a good friend who is a certified arborist. And
shout out Dave
Weinhold. Yeah, Dave Weinhold, Weinhold Family Tree and Hathaway Tree Service. But yeah. Dave, I like to say, showed me the ropes, literally and figuratively. So I became a tree climber, an arborist, and worked day in and day out with him and his team for about 2 years. And at that point, my body was feeling it. It's a tough job.
Yep.
And I was having conversations with Sam and conversations with our dad, and it was time, and I was ready. And so that is about 2 or 3 years ago now that we made that the full-time transition to Jimmy's, and it's been the fastest 2 to 3 years of my life.
So you guys had both worked somewhere else prior to kind of coming back to the family business, right?
Because
you were in Denver then, so what were you doing in Denver?
So after school, I was able to work, was fortunate to work at Hormel, which, you know, I got so lucky, you know, to get that opportunity. You know, number one, it was in the food industry. And number two, it was Hormel, right?
You know,
Fortune 500 Hormel. And so it was really great. Got to get out of state even for a little bit. And there was a period of time where I was like, this is, you know, it's awesome. You know, there's a lot of benefits to the corporate route, right? But I think ultimately I always wanted to work for myself and work with family. And so, you know, I took advantage of the time I had out there, learned a lot of lessons, learned what to do, and I think more importantly, what not to do at times, kind of take your lumps, but brought that outside experience back in, which, you know, I think was obviously really beneficial.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So was that kind of by choice for both of you? Because, like, sometimes, you know, you hear, you know, dad could be like, nah, you guys got to do something else first, you know, to... for, you know, many different reasons. Or was it more like internally you guys wanted to, you know, work outside of the business maybe before coming in?
I would say it was a pretty good mixture of both, to be honest. I think we both had an interest to do something other than Jimmy's post-graduation, but I think our parents wanted us to do something after. You know, it wasn't mandatory, but it was encouraged.
Yeah. And it gives you a lot of different perspectives. I mean, how other companies operate, different things that go on. I mean, that
Definitely.
You can learn and take in, you know, one, to have a different appreciation of, but then two, to see, hey, like, you know, we have always operated like this. That doesn't mean that's the way that we always have to operate, you know?
Yeah, exactly. The outside perspective was great. And it's not like we came back and changed, you know,
reinvented
the wheel by any means, but, you know, at least we were like...
It's like, all right, Dad, like, this is what we're doing now.
Yeah. Yeah, it was not even. We fell in line pretty quick.
But
it was. I mean, it was at least good to go out and do something else.
So both of you getting back. I mean, you're doing that. You went to school. You worked somewhere else. You know, back into Jimmy's, into the swing of things. What's that? What's kind of roles look like? Where's the company at that point?
Yeah. Well, I got back first, so I'm 4 years older than Griff, and then, you know, he did the year after high school for hockey. So really 5 years from like a schooling standpoint,
if
that makes sense, was our gap. So when I got back, I was in sales after college in food sales, and then an operations role opened up at the family business, and so I was like whatever. Right. So I jumped in head first and just got my butt kicked. Like. Just so humbling. And, you know, this little business, you know, that I thought was so easy or whatever, you know, from the outside was, I got a pretty good taste of reality. So just committed as much as I could to learning the ins and outs of it, for about the next 5 years, and finally got to a place where felt like I could at least get my arms, you know, halfway decent around it. And, thankfully Griff came back. And, you know, for a while there, I wasn't sure if he would or was not going to come back. And so I was kind of mentally preparing, like...
Both.
I might be in this the long haul on my own. And, I mean, as I sit here today, like, we talk about this all the time. Could not imagine doing it without him now. Wouldn't want to do it without him now.
Yep.
And so, thankfully he did come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I almost had that same... I mean, I started this MediaCorp, like, 6 years ago. Jake came on like 8 months after me, after graduating from Northwestern with an accounting degree. You know, he was tried out an internship. He's like, man, I could go back and get an accounting job anywhere at any time. Like, but you're doing this. It looks cool. I'm going to try this out with you. You know, and again, like we're starting from ground zero. But even through the years, like I wasn't sure if he was going to stick around or not. You know, we had always talked about buying in potentially, or, you know, what that could look like ownership wise, equity wise. And, you know, it's like, so mentally preparing again, like I have to be ready for, you know, my right hand guy, you know, that yeah. could potentially dip and mm-hmm. just do something else. So there was a lot of like that weird, like, how do you prep for something like this to, I mean, he takes a whole other side of the company off of, you know, my back that he handles. And it's like, okay, how am I going to replace that if he doesn't? So it's an interesting, yeah, like dynamic.
That's an interesting dynamic that you two have in common that right. little brothers are probably good for, right? Given keeping you on your toes.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean,
well, John, I'm going to dip for that.
Yeah. Well, you're talking to us. We're talking about a lot of dip, actually. So, we like to say that we don't want to see things dip, but we totally want to see things dip.
That's right.
But I know that from when you guys told me that you two were brothers, right? It was an immediate kind of like sense of comfort I think I had, knowing yeah. that you two, when you came for the pre-production, were basically going through the same thing that him and I are going through, right?
Yeah.
Different industries, but there's a family dynamic in working together that
yep.
I think a lot of people just maybe don't realize until you're actually living it, that it can be really amazing and it can be really tough.
Yes. And you guys are 4 years apart?
Four years.
So how old are each of you?
I'm 27.
31.
Okay.
Me. Yeah.
So me and Jake are 3 years apart.
Yeah.
I'm 29. Yep. Yeah, and he's 26.
Yeah.
It's not far off, yeah.
I mean, the parallels are so cool. And
yeah.
I mean, for me, right, being in the business first, and for you, obviously, starting the business, right? I mean, you obviously sold them on the vision, and this is yep. before, you know, I mean, we walked in, you guys are in a gorgeous facility mm-hmm. now, the offices, everything. I mean, the room here, it's killer, it's right? Much. But like, it wasn't always like that.
Yep.
Right. So, I mean,
a basement desk yeah. And a computer. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
hey, you should do this with me.
I kind of felt like a recruiter at times with Griff. But seriously, I mean, we came into a situation, right, where we had a longstanding reputation, and obviously we've been adding to that, hopefully. But that's something that we, you know, even as brothers, look up to with you two, is that you yeah. guys completely went out on a limb.
Mm-hmm. It was weird. It was like, you know, even our family, you know, dad was so much like the traditional go to school, get a career job. So like when I was doing that, he was like, fully against it.
Yeah.
So, you know, mom is mom. She's trying to just support you either
right.
way. You know, she like doesn't know what's going to happen. But dad was like just not for it. And yeah. this is interesting. You know, Jake's off in college at the time. You know, I'm kind of on my own trying to figure this out. And, you know, there's not a ton of support of like, yeah, you can do this. I think that was honestly like a part of that fire.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I'll watch kind of
mm-hmm.
thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you almost have to have some of that, you know, that competitive nature too. I mean, you get that from sports and in business.
For sure.
And it's like, well, I'm going to make this happen and you guys are going to sit back and watch me do it. And you just grind. And like, I feel like, you know, that also allowed me to just day in and day out. Like, that's all I did. Weekends, completely devoted to this.
Yeah.
You know, I did 3 months where I was working at my full-time job and then kind of doing nights and weekends with MediaCorp. I wasn't getting like much going.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like, I don't, there's no time.
Yeah.
So, you know, my mentor at the time was like, January 1, 2019, just like commit, just dive both feet in and just go. So I did, I quit, you know, a job when I was, I don't know, 21 or something like that. And I hadn't gone to college and I was making probably $50,000 a year. And I was like, yeah, it was pretty good, you know,
yeah.
for mm-hmm. not having any experience. I worked my way up there, but that was all gone, and
yeah.
I had nothing, no contracts, no anything. And it was just like, figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that almost put me in a spot where it's like, you have to go forward.
Sink or swim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep.
That's just, yeah, I mean, what a motivator. Like, our dad talks about, you know, things were swirling, like the water was swirling around the drain
is yeah,
the
yeah.
that he uses. And he's like, it's amazing what that'll do for, you know, when like you can't accept no.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, yeah, I mean, we're at that point now. I mean, everybody that's in business has yeah. got that, right?
Well, each level, I feel like it like restarts, you know, yeah, like you get to sure. a certain point and the problems are just bigger and everything's elevated now, mm-hmm. you know, and you get, so it's not, you know, you're not dealing with the same maybe challenges that dad faced in the beginning, but you're also now dealing with still, you know, big things that could make or break, you right. know, a company. And it's like, how do you navigate this at each different stage?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's interesting too, because like different problems every stage, you know, different amount of employees, different amount of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, each stage is like, man, like what the heck are we going to face now? Right when you feel like you're in the, like the swing of things, like, dude, things are good. It's like, well, broke through another level mm-hmm. and way bigger problem now than we
yeah.
ever had foreseen. You know,
100%.
That's kind of interesting too.
Yeah.
At what point did you feel like, Josh, you've kind of, not that you would ever arrive at any one point in time, right? But where you kind of were able to sit back finally and go, hey, I might be onto something here, or like, wow, things are really starting to heat up. Was it when your brother joined the business, do you think?
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting because, you know, I had basically that January 1 of 19, I just like hit the streets. I was just trying to meet as many people as I could.
Yeah.
And it's video is so much editing and time in the back end. So I really couldn't be out and about every time I'd get a project.
Mm-hmm.
So what Jake allowed me to do is I taught him how to shoot and edit. We'd both go out, we'd both shoot, we'd both edit, but he would edit more
mm-hmm.
so that I could just keep being out and about.
Yeah.
And like that's when it really unlocked with like, oh, like, you know, I don't have to spend all my time editing. I can be out selling and marketing.
Yeah.
And I think in, you know, 6 months, we did like 80 grand in our first year with like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, holy crap. Like,
might be honest.
I just made almost twice as much as I did, you know, mm-hmm. at a corporate job. And, you know, in a short amount of time, like maybe there's something to this.
Yeah.
Second year, you know, we do 300,000 at the end of the year. And it's like, what's going on? There's three of us. We're just a bunch of kids. And you're like, what's going on, man? Yeah. Like, this is sweet, you know, like yeah. the money's there and it's exciting, but at the same time, you don't really like know what's coming.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, it just kept scaling and scaling and the problems kept getting, you know, bigger and employees unlocked a whole new, like, you know, can of worms of, you know, insurance and mm-hmm. unemployment and like everything had to be legit and by the books. And like, we yeah. wanted to do it right from the very beginning.
How big is your team now here?
So we got a team of seven right now.
Okay.
We got a rollout. We got a couple roles out. We want to hire two BDRs. So I want to get two more people helping with sales. And then we literally have a line out the door of people that want to do video here. And it's like, it's so exciting. Cause I'm like, heck yeah, I want to hire everybody. Yep. Like,
right.
like you guys are cool. We've already met you. I like you. But we got to have the work,
yep.
you know?
Yeah.
And, like, that's this that constant battle, too, you know? Like, we got to keep going out, finding the work, expanding our territory.
Yeah.
You know? It's, you know, we're facing similar problems, good problems
yeah.
to have.
Good problems, yeah.
Right? Like, we've been able to add a lot of folks to our team over the last – I mean, we've had more turnover and hired more people in the last 2 years than we had, I think.
In the previous 20 or 30 existence,
yeah. right? And so we're now getting, we've always had great people, but we're attracting great people too.
Absolutely.
And that's awesome. But yeah, I mean, in order to keep growing that team, we've got to do our jobs.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of pressure with that.
So right now, what are kind of like your roles and what is like, you know, day to day, what's kind of the focus for each of you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to keep talking over you, G, but like this guy has been basically a Swiss Army knife since he got back. And so, I mean, I'll hit on the history of Griff. I mean, he came on in sales, then got asked to go into production, had no production experience, became the production manager, got that team like where it needed to be, then jumped into warehouse. Like he's been anywhere he needs to.
He's
good at filling holes, but most recently I'll let you kind of take
most it. Recently it's been the sales and marketing cap again, no experience, but a willingness to tackle it and kind of just sift through, you know, 20 to 30 years worth of like, this is what we've done, but no real structure and try to provide a structure. We've got a team of two reps and then one marketing manager. And we've got a great team. We just kind of falls on me to provide kind of structure and process. And it's been a bit of a bear to tackle it, to be honest with you. But yeah. I enjoy getting to interact with people and go out and see our products in stores and hopefully start trying to grow it. You know, we've got this awesome Midwest base, but we want to kind of start expanding that radius a little bit. You know, we're in that 300-ish mile radius from Stuartville right now, and you know, by the end of the year, I kind of want to start be flirting with that 500 radius with some key accounts. So that's been the kind of the mentality as we've started 2024, and hopefully by the end, I'm able to report that. You know,
absolutely, yeah. Well, I really resonate with that because, like, you know, for me, that's my main role is. Mm-hmm. You know, it was sales and marketing. You know, we got Joe actually right here in the podcast room starting to take on more of that marketing side. But I've always been the CEO in like the, you know, I got to run operations and still keep everybody in line. Mm-hmm. But most of my time past that is like selling, and I got to be out and about, figuring out how to get new acquisition, break us into new markets, you know, do those different things. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, I love that kind of stuff, you know? And it's like, you're kind of coming in where you have certain accounts and you have relationships built up over the years that you want to continue to cultivate mm-hmm. and grow.
Right.
Because those are, again, like, you can never leave those. Yeah, like, you want to. But then how do we break into this new market, mm-hmm. tackle some of these bigger accounts, get ourselves in the door of, you know, what could even break us through like the next level of something is get some huge account and go like, man, like we could, this could take us everywhere, mm-hmm. you know? So like, mm-hmm. that's super fun and strength. Yeah.
It, I mean, it is a rewarding job to do, but it's a little bit longer stretches between like, you're just kind of hustling and you're in the moment. It's not the, we like to say you're chopping wood and you've got the immediate satisfaction of seeing what you've chopped, you know? Oh, yeah. It's more of We're chipping away, and then all of a sudden something will click, and that's when you have an immediate pile of wood, you know, as we kind of like to say. But, you know, you and I doing very similar jobs right now, we haven't really mentioned like the overarching theme of you're still trying to keep everything rolling a little bit, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's that ownership element that comes into, yes, we've got our job to do, but at the end of the day, there's also this, we kind of got to step back and look, you know, at the company as opposed to being in the company.
Yep.
Which I think he's done a really tremendous job of helping me realize that and also, you know, kind of facilitating that and doing that. And I know that you've got to go through the same thing.
Yeah. That's the other half of the time is, you know, how do I continue to be an owner, be a CEO? You know, like I always think it's funny when, you know, somebody starts a company and it's like it's a one-man army, and you just slap CEO up there, and it's like, CEO of what?
Yeah.
What are you talking
about?
No, but I did it too, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, you don't realize, like, what that actually is until you're growing and building a team. We have a small team, you know? But it's like, still, you know, through learning and seeing so many companies, that's, like, part of the thing that I love about this industry is, like, we get the peek in of mm-hmm. so many businesses at the highest level and how they operate, and it's like, it's super cool, that perspective. But CEO to me, again, now, and I talked about it on our last podcast too, is just like, it's a responsibility, and I need to go learn how to be one, mm-hmm. because me knowing how to shoot and edit, market and be personable can only get us so far,
mm-hmm. right?
I have to learn how to actually operate a company and grow it. I'm not equipped for that. So, like, that's what is.
They're two very different things, right?
Yeah.
100%. And we say it every day. I mean, we're all the three of us in this room, the four of us in this room, right? We're fairly young in our career.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And there's a lot of blind spots.
Yep.
And so it's tough to, you don't know what you don't know. And so I think seeking that outside perspective is something that's, you know, we're doing more and more of as I think even as we gain confidence, right? Because, you know, there's a certain point where you're so young and you're so inexperienced that you don't want to even admit that you don't know what you're doing. But I think we're at a point now where we're like, hey, we know that we've got some room to grow.
Yes.
Help us. Like, if mm-hmm. you can show us how to use these tools, we want to go out there and execute them. So,
yeah.
Yeah, there's like just that unknown, ignorant element when you're young and you're just getting started into it. It's just like, you know, I look back at these videos of like me talking to, you know, on camera, just like telling people how to do things. It's like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, shut up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you don't know anything. But it's fun to to have that progression and mm-hmm. come to those realizations and still go, hey, we do know certain things, but this is our lane, you know, that we're mm-hmm. really equipped for. How do we keep building those building blocks? I think one of the things I wanted to kind of dive into was you guys mentioned EOS,
yeah,
which sparked interest. Because, yeah. again, I know a little bit about that. We've done small amount of mm-hmm. self-implementation. But I want to hear kind of what that journey was like with you guys, because a lot of people run that. And, you know, it's built a ton of companies.
I want you to take the lead on this.
You know, EOS has been, and everybody that goes through it, I think, says this word for word, it's been a game changer.
Yeah.
It's been a long journey for us. Like, we're fairly conservative dudes. And so, I mean, when I first heard about it, I think it took me, I read the book, and then it took me a full year to, like, really process it before I was ready to make a commitment. But, you know, for those people on the podcast that don't know what it is, it's an entrepreneurial operating system is what EOS stands for. And there's a book out there called Traction. And the guy behind the whole thing is named Gino Wickman.
Yep.
And so it's essentially just an organizational tool, regardless of what industry you're in for small to medium-sized businesses. And for us, it was all about getting the right people in the right seats. And we were a small business, and so there were so many people wearing so many different hats. Mm-hmm. At the time that we began Traction and EOS, we had to do a total reboot. And, you know, we've got some studs on our team that were, like, literally had a hand in every mm-hmm. piece of the business.
Yeah.
And we had to go back to the drawing table and be like, okay, you're only going to do this now. And it's like that immediate, like, straight up refusal.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I had to summarize it, I think it's allowed us to really be intentional about our business. And we've been able to spread out responsibility. And like Griff said, we've got people on our team that are just as passionate about our business as we are about the business. Yep. And so the trust is there, right? The communication is there. And it's allowed us to really be able to delegate and elevate, I think, in our day-to-day, which has been it's been awesome.
I could not have said that any better. But I think the biggest piece of this EOS thing that I think it helps facilitate getting right people in the right seats. But fortunately for us, I mean, we've got an outstanding team, and there was very little shifting of this person or this person. Like, we had people who bought into it immediately and have continued to, and have made rolling something like this out an extremely painless and easy thing to do. They wrapped their arms around it just as fast as we did and have fully embraced the structure that EOS provides.
Now, when was this kind of implemented?
Yeah, it would have been last spring. So we just did our first, you know, full tour around the earth with it. But
was it self-implemented, or do you kind of have somebody that you brought in to kind of help with it?
We went out, we reached out and got an implementer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, you know, it was a big investment, especially for a small business. Mm-hmm. But I think we've been able to, I think the organization that has resulted from it has more than paid for itself.
Yep.
Feel very confident about that. And really it was for somebody to guide you through that. It's so helpful. They've got that third party arbitrary view
where
we're so close to it that sometimes you kind of get lost in what the objective is. And so for somebody to be able to, like, you know, take a step back and say, hey guys, I think we're missing the mark.
Yep. Right.
It's just helped us, I think, get to where we want to be a lot faster.
Yeah. And they're really acting as the guide. You mm-hmm. know, it's just like,
exactly.
You know, you have the information, but how can we pull it out? How can mm-hmm. we recognize it? How can we now use this to do X, Y, and Z so mm-hmm. that, you know, this is running better? And I think it's interesting too, because, you know, as you guys have kind of taken over as that next generation, you know, a lot of just, again, books and reading and learning, there's always kind of that switch. There's the changing of the guard, per se.
Yeah.
But it doesn't just usually happen around leadership or, like, ownership. You know, it's like you got to get kind of your own leadership team built and structure built around how you guys are now operating, you know, so it's not like this, hey, there's new maybe ownership-wise, mm-hmm. but it's all the same guys that have done it the same, you know, with – you know, with your dad or something like that. Right. It's like, well, maybe it's some of the same people, but it's interesting kind of hearing, like, you know, when that changes and you kind of bring your own team in and really build that team, that's when you can kind of really scale together, you know.
Yeah, you know, the big thing, and again, being intentional and clarifying an organization, it's forced us to, you know, a big piece of my job and Griff's job is to share what the vision is. And like Coach PJ Fleck, the Gophers, Griff likes to give me a hard time about
there's that. A hole in the boat.
There's a hole in the boat. But like, seriously, getting everybody rowing in the same direction is so important. And so, you know, we're now sharing our vision, you know, with the entire company. And it's amazing. And you know, the goal is to, if you were to ask anybody in the company, like, what's the 10-year goal? What's the 3-year goal? Like, they know it.
Yeah.
And we're very transparent with that. Identifying and clarifying our values.
Like, absolutely.
That was fun for us. You know, those values have been instilled in us and they've been in the business forever. But like, identifying them and talking about them now is really.
Did you change any of the values, or maybe even like just tweak some like the definitions of what they mean to you?
We really played around with it a lot because our values are, it's an acronym, it's GRIT: grow, respect, integrity, and together. Mm. And you know, to a certain extent, those might be kind of buzzwords as far as values across companies in America. And like I always reference the Enron. One of their values was integrity. Well, we know what happened with Enron, right? And it was the opposite of integrity.
Yeah, right. When push came to shove,
It fell through. But we really did a lot of exercises with this implementer and through EOS to try to come up. I mean, me specifically, I wanted different words. But they kept coming back to the same four words. And it just so happened that they made an acronym. Yeah. So that worked out for us.
It's a cool acronym too.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Before we actually finalized the four, I like rushed out and made t-shirts. So I was so happy that we actually, once we got the full leadership team, like we landed on GRIT and I was like, oh, thank God.
I saw the beads of sweat dripping on his forehead. Like, and then
really got put to the test, but we passed it.
Yeah.
That's great.
But no, it's been an amazing process, and I mean, we're just in our infancy of it still. Yeah. But it's allowed us, I think, to have a lot of confidence, and I mean, we're still working. You know, so two of the positions within the traction system, I mean, everybody has a department, right? But the two folks that sit at the top are called your visionary and an integrator, which would, you know, be you and your brother.
But that VI combo, that rocket VI, fuel.
That VI combo. Yeah. And so, you know, Griff and I, you know, we still are working towards how do we best put that combo together? Because the cool part about, you know, being brothers is we can be a very blunt and transparent with each other, but we've definitely got different styles and different skills. So, you know, we're putting together that vision together.
Yeah.
And then thankfully we've got a supportive team around us that believes in it. So,
how do you two kind of navigate the, you know, the brother side of, you know, just disagreements and things like that? You know, that, again, being brothers and being, you know, can be more blunt. You know, there's certain things that a team member would never say to you that a brother, you know, feels comfortable saying to you.
Yeah.
And how do you navigate some of that?
I'll jump in right away. And that was a pretty steep, I'll call it a learning curve when I came back in, where I didn't even realize, right, that we're having this conversation in front of other people.
Yeah.
Right? There's other employees in the company.
Yeah,
and I would say something that nobody in a million years would say to a CEO, but I'm just talking to my older brother. And it took him pointing out to me, you can't do that, where it was like, I am so embarrassed that I did that, right?
Yeah. And to be fair, like, I went through the same thing with my own dad. Right? Yeah. I mean, and I'm just as embarrassed. Like, he called me in a couple times and he's like, you can't talk to me that way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And like, totally unconscious of the dynamic.
Right. So, I mean, it ultimately, it's still, we're still comfortable enough to call each other out in front of other employees, you know, or other parts of our team, but it's done with respect in mind,
right?
And that's at the forefront of, instead of calling him a dumbass, I'm saying, Mr. CEO, sir, you are making a questionable decision. No, I mean, it's been an interesting.
That was a total hypothetical. You would never,
never do that, and I never have. But no, it's been, I don't know. I mean, can you, what do you have to say about it, Sam? Because I know.
Yeah. I mean, like we're best friends outside of work.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that almost further complicates things.
Right. Yep. Yep.
But we've been able to, like, we literally have to announce, like, hey, put, like, this is a personal subject. And then we like, okay, you know, we can drop our guard if you know, like, the professionalism. But sometimes it takes, like, announcing that to one another. Like, hey, I want to flip back to business quick.
Yep.
Or,
yep.
hey, let's, you know, I got a personal one for you. And then we can kind of.
I like that, kind of flipping it on and off. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe's never heard any conversation that he shouldn't have, you know, before yelling out of our offices.
How do you guys handle that? I mean, it's the same.
It's it's weird. It's like it's a weird, you know, dynamic because again, like it's your brother. You trust him. Mm-hmm. You know, there's you're not going to have that with anybody else. You know, like you can get close, but you're still never going to have you know, like that close. Mm-hmm. And like you know, you have each other's back at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But there's also a ton of pride with brothers and family and things like that too. So it's hard to, it's kind of hard to like check your pride at the door and still, you know, hey, we gotta work through this. We gotta be professional about it. We gotta, you know, because I've had that same thing happen. You know, like I definitely talk out of turn when I shouldn't. But like, I'm like, Jay, you can't talk to me as you know,
right.
CEO of this company, especially in front of people like that.
Mm-hmm.
That just doesn't work, you know. You know, and I get in trouble for it too. But it's like, you know, what do you do? And but it, really, to me, I think what's helped the most is really just trying to push the pride away and just go, hey, like we're getting heated, and like this is just going to lead to just words flying. And at the end of the day, like you know, we could both go home pissed off and. You know, happy as ever, you know, the next day. And it's like, you know, it's going to be like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's still that element of like, hey, we're running this. There's people here. We can do certain things.
Yeah. I think that was a tough part for me is like, you know that we can treat each other like crap if we really wanted to.
Yeah.
And we're both going to show up the next day. So we have to, I think we have to be careful about that.
Yeah.
And I think we've come a long ways where I don't think we were. Very few days do we ever go home like actually mad at one another, but it happens.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
we're
I have for sure.
you're just so passionate about it, right? Like it's tough not to take things personally at times. But
the other part that we would probably, to be honest, have to consult other people in the company about this. But I don't think that we necessarily, or at least we've done a much better job of. We might have something that's going on between us, and it is professionally speaking, but we. Are able to unite enough to go out and have a discussion with the entire company, right?
Yeah.
Or with our leadership team and not let a disagreement about something cloud what still has to get done. We'll have those conversations behind closed doors.
Yep.
But it's, we pick ourselves up enough to give ourselves a nod and go out and carry on like we need to and then go duke it out later.
That's right. How do you guys kind of develop each other and yourselves just even individually, you know, that's some of the challenges I've faced, and I've had to look different ways to continue, you know, personal development. I mean, like, again, we're all kind of getting into waters that we've never been in.
Mm-hmm.
So like, how do you keep doing that? How do you keep growing?
Yeah. I mean, it's a great question. And you know, for us, it's literally our first value, grow.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, what that means in our company is like challenging yourself every day. And we say it could be literally walking through the warehouse and bending down to pick up a piece of wood on the ground.
Yep.
Like that's your thing for the day. So, I mean, we do challenge one another. Griffin doesn't like to read, but is starting to read. I mean, I think that's literally an example for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it is.
So,
yeah. I'm a good reader, FYI. I don't care for
just doesn't like you. Yeah. No. I think, you know, with this year, Traction has I think put into perspective for us how much we don't know.
I'll
say that. So we've been working with some consultants within our industry. And I mean, the first day I brought the one gentleman on site, and we were at the plant till like 9:30 that night.
Yeah.
And I finally dropped him off at the hotel, and I like legitimately like almost broke down and cried because I was like, oh my God, we have so much work to do. Like,
absolutely.
We're so proud of where we're at, but like, holy cow, we've got a lot of work. And so I think it's just putting your ego aside and like understanding that you just got to keep, going back and trying to find out more.
Yep.
Yeah. At least for me, that's how it feels.
Right. I mean, we're never going to know any or everything.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't claim to be the experts. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. I think humility is a huge term that we like to throw around at our plant. And,
yeah.
And it's not about being right. It's about getting it right. Yeah. And it takes just a lot of character to you know, admit that, you know, I messed that up or take responsibility for something that didn't go as planned.
Right.
And I think specifically as leadership in a company, it really fosters a good environment to have the leader go, my bad.
Yeah. 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 I messed that up. Like, we do that. Yep. Hopefully not every day, but.
Yeah. But I mean, that kind of stuff comes top down. I mean, yep. Throughout a company, if you can lead, you know, in a way where, again, like you're not always right and you can admit certain things, then you're going to get that. One, it's going to build trust throughout the organization. But two, other people will feel like they don't always have to have this right. I can't ever mess up. You know, let's cultivate a area where we can learn and grow and get better. And yes, we're going to fail at times, but we're going to change, mm-hmm. you know, so that doesn't keep happening.
For sure. I mean, we're both extremely privileged to come into a family business, right? To have the opportunity to be a third generation, but it didn't come with a handbook or a playbook.
Oh yeah,
right. And so the biggest thing that we were given was, I think, the values that our parents instilled in us,
yep.
right? And
yep.
so those things will lead you to, I think, success, right? It points you in the right direction. So there's not a how-to book, but
right.
I think you use the lessons that they taught you in life, and that's, I think, what we're running to, not perfection, but we're trying our best right mm-hmm. now.
So, yeah. And those are things that are too. That's like hard to get everybody. I feel like even like Jake and I, like we're different people. Like we have a lot of things that are different.
Yep.
You know, but we have a lot of those same values. So it's cool because, like, you know, we can play off each other, but we kind of have that same end goal, and we have the same, like, motivation and tenacity about going, you know, and trying to get it. But it's just, like, the certain values are just, like, being a good person.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's hard to just, like, how do I, you know, when we're working with you guys on something, how do I just, like, tell you, like, it's going to be okay, we're going to take care of you, like, we're good people, we're not here to screw you or do something like that, you know, it's, like, that's hard to just... tell the world, like, yeah, trust me, like, I'm a good person.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I can speak firsthand, right? Going through the experience with you guys, like, it was, I think we came into it, there was another opportunity to pair with another company.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you guys stepped up to the plate. It was like, hey, XYZ, you know, chose not to go in this direction.
Yep.
We're still going to honor everything that we talked about.
And, yep.
I mean, for us, that's like,
yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome to
yeah.
work with people like that.
Yep.
And I'm excited to see their video because I'm going to tell them we could have done better.
So. we'll make sure we'll slip it in every time we meet with them. Yeah.
Absolutely will.
Yep. Well, kind of a couple things just wrapping up too. Like one, just right now, what motivates you guys? What is that fire in your bellies that keeps you pushing?
Yeah. It's a great question. I mean, we are literally quantifying that, or at least trying to, with this traction process. Yep. And we call it our purpose, cause, passion. And Griff's been...
It's kind of been something that I've been working on, and it's not a final version.
Yeah.
But, you know, the working title right now of our what's getting us up in the morning, and it's to share a taste of our small town legacy. Mm-hmm. And again, we started in a 1958 supper club, right? And here we are, it's 2024. We've got the same recipes, but we're a completely different team. And we feel very confident that we're poised to continue to share what our grandfather started. And we want to. And I know for me, that is what gets me up in the morning. I'm excited to get to share this with people and get to do it the right way. I'm not trying to screw anybody over, right? We're genuine people.
Yep.
And we're excited. We're passionate.
Yeah, you know, it's our family name on the shirt, on the building. You've got the same thing.
Yep.
You know, it's literally your own brainchild. So, I mean, when you're working for yourself like that, it's, I don't know how you could not want to get up and get
absolutely.
After it. Yeah.
So So what's the future, I guess immediate future, look like for Jimmy's? What is what's in the works? Where do you guys want to go? Where do you see it?
I'll jump in and say, you know, kind of 1 year, one big thing that we're looking for is an office, additional office space. Yeah. I know you came down and visited us, and we were in that back corner of the back warehouse. We do have an admin area. It's just full.
Yep.
And so our sales and marketing team is in the back corner of an extra warehouse. And yep. as fun yep. as it is to be able to shoot pucks and throw the football around, it's not there's no windows, right? Yeah. I mean, I had to take vitamin D pills this winter. So that's kind of a pressing issue on my mind. But with that comes opportunity for, now we've got some R&D space that we can take advantage of, right? And we've got a storefront availability. So instead of having people turned away at our door, we want people, right? We're involved in our community. We want our community to come in and see who we are and be able to buy our products and get hats. And, you know, we want to be involved with them.
Are you looking for that space in Stewartville or...?
I think ideally. Yeah. In fact, like I couldn't envision us doing it outside of Stewartville. Right. I mean, that's who we are. That's where we operate.
Yep.
To Griff's point. Yeah. You know, R&D is a big one. Like we've had the fortune of having our grandfather be the guy that came up with a lot of the recipes.
Yes.
And we call them recipes
versus
formulas because they're literally kitchen recipes. You know.
So,
But, you know, we want to expand on that, and we're getting our operational team and the equipment and things. By the end of this year, we want to be able to do some more recipes, some new flavor profiles. Mm-hmm. So that's really exciting. 3-year goal, we'd like to double the business.
Yeah.
Like it's pretty ambitious. It's we call it the big hairy ass goal.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, our 10 years is even crazier, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. But we feel like... Right people, you know, great team, great product, and just doing things the right way. Like that's the recipe for success. We're gonna try to follow it and see what happens. You know, if we don't hit a number, that's the big thing that we talked about. Like, we're not in this to make a certain amount of money.
Right.
You know, we're here to provide a great lifestyle for our company, for the people that work in it, and to create a great product. And if you know we can have a good lifestyle along the way, that's the cherry on top.
Absolutely.
So
I love it. Lastly, each of you I want to kind of hear from, and I always ask people at the end, you know, we got a lot of entrepreneurs that listen to this, we got a lot of business people, a lot of owners. What have been some, even one, but any key things that just through your journey that you can almost pass on as advice to somebody listening, like, hey, this has been key to me and my growth. What have been something that stood out to you guys?
Yeah. I mean, this might be kind of dumbed down, but listen, I think is the biggest thing that I've learned. I'm young. I don't have a wealth of knowledge to come out and tell everybody how it should be done. I want to hear what other people have to say, whether they're people who are consulting, whether I'm hearing a speaker, whether I'm listening to an audiobook. or employees, right? Like, listen, it does not need to be the Griffin Show or the Sam Show.
Yep.
Listen, and there's going to be a lot of things that I've learned just based off of listening to what's out there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge. You know, there's so many, I think, that you can kind of choose from.
Oh, yeah.
I think the big one for me is, you know, our dad would say, like, take the high road. And to me, that's just, like, be humble, never burn a bridge. You know, not that relation, you know, I don't like the saying like, oh, it's all about who you know, but just be good, right? Mm-hmm. Work hard.
Yep.
And so I think, you know, the other thing our dad has always said is like, you know, when the average guy gives up, like that's when you've got to just double down. And so we try to bring that to the workspace too, or at least most days, I feel like. And so, you know, if you take the high road and just, when the average guy is ready to give up, you double down. I think that's what we like to bring. You know, there's no secret formula. It's just stick-to-itiveness, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. Well, hey, you know, I appreciate both you coming on today. It's been lot of fun, and I honestly could have gone for another hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't really think I probably hit half of my questions, but no, it's been a blast. I really appreciate you guys coming on today.
Appreciate the time. Thank Humbled you. To be here. It's awesome. Yeah. Looking forward to continuing to work together.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Appreciate it, Josh.
And as always, guys, if you enjoyed this podcast, remember to continue sharing it out. We're trying to build this community. We're going to keep getting more and more people on. If you have recommendations or guests or ideas or even topics that you've been interested in, maybe learning more, maybe we can bring somebody in that specializes in that. But as always, keep sharing this out. We love the support, and we'll see you on the next one.